Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Well, good morning, folks. This is Linda Ballesteros. I'm your host today on Empower Radio Show. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm always honored when people spend some of their precious time with us to either learn how to become better business owners or maybe learn those secrets to success. And that's actually what we're going to talk about today. So many of us, and I will include myself in this, we look around and we see others and we think, oh, they're so successful. There must be a secret, and I must not know it. So we continue to buy the books. We continue to go to those workshops. We continue to listen to all of the information out there, hoping that we will find that nugget and that secret. So today we have our guest today is Mae McCarthy, and Mae is a speaker, author, and she is she has actually grown, co-founded, and helped grow 7 companies as large as $100 million in annual revenue. She's a best-selling author of The Path to Wealth, 7 Spiritual Steps of Financial Abundance, and her most recent book, The Gratitude Formula, a 7-step success system to create a life that you love. I love that. Welcome to the show, Mae.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And you know, Mae, there are so many times, and I've been an entrepreneur since probably 2004, 30 plus years in banking, and then decided to become an entrepreneur. But I'm always looking for that secret, that special X factor that someone else has that I don't have that would take my business over the top. Do you find that is common, or am I just kind of, you know, one of those weird folks that are constantly looking for something?
Well, I think that when people are looking for a secret, they're actually trying to satisfy this idea of something not being attainable. Mm. And what I like to tell people when I travel around the world and speak and teach is that success is just a system. And they've already proved how powerful they are. They used a system to learn to drive, to learn to read, to learn to ride a bike, and to type on that crazy keyboard that's not even in alphabetical order. And what they've been able to do is use some systematic processes to master all of those situations. I mean, many of your listeners can probably drive home without remembering large parts of their drive home because they've mastered how to do that. And what I like to tell people is that in business or success, there's a system. And if they just follow the system, they can achieve whatever goal they have. And the system isn't that difficult, but it does take some discipline and practice, just like riding a bike and driving a car, but it's a lot more fun because you're achieving and creating the life that you love.
So, May, through all of your successes in helping businesses grow, what was some of the common things that you saw that companies were missing when you went in and helped to turn them around?
Well, I usually partner up with someone who has a great idea, and then we start it from scratch and grow it to the point where we can sell it off or merge with a larger company. And so we are able to establish a value system and a purpose for our company that somehow is in alignment with this idea of fair exchange of value. You know, if our company is providing a fair exchange of value and differentiating ourselves from our competition, we have a great chance to be successful. But the thing that probably elevated us to a whole new level of success, in addition to practical tools, I mean, you've got to have some practical tools while you're growing your business. You need to understand, you know, how to plan for and execute against a business plan and validate that it's, you know, the right thing for the right market at the right time and that customers really want it. So setting aside the practical applications of business, having some sort of goal to elevate all of your stakeholders while your company is thriving and prospering, it tends to motivate and engage your employees and your other stakeholders to want to go that extra mile, that extra effort to help you be successful. And what I mean by that is that companies should have a purpose statement. It's the why that they exist. It's very different than what they do. The why that they exist can translate into motivating all of the stakeholders to do a better job and be more engaged. And let me give you an example. In my last company, what we did was we created software and teamed it up with giant pieces of automated machinery, and we would come in to hospital systems and automate their entire drug distribution process. We also enabled barcodes to be put on every single dose of medication so that the accuracy could be validated at the bedside. The right patient got the right drug and medication errors were eliminated. But the why, the purpose that we did this was to save lives. Mm-hmm. It's very different than what we did. And we all know the Kellogg's Corporation, you know, what they do. They manufacture and distribute food products. But they say that why they do this is to nourish families so they can flourish and thrive. Imagine how much more motivated your thousands of employees and your suppliers and vendors and your investors and other stakeholders related to your business are going to be to help nourish families to flourish and thrive versus manufacturing and distributing food products.
Right. You know, I mentioned earlier that I was in corporate for 30 plus years, and I always received the bonuses and I always received the raises, but I never understood why I really wasn't as excited about that. Well, I was not motivated by money. So if I had been motivated, if I had had a purpose to have gotten behind, just like you're describing, that drives me. I don't know if it drives everybody, but that drives me more so than just the money.
Well, I think it does drive a lot of people. And so much so, Ernst & Young a couple years ago did a funded a study, and it was published in the Harvard Business Review. And what they did was they surveyed almost 500 corporate CEOs of companies. And through this survey process, what they determined was that those companies that had clearly defined purpose statements and articulated it to all of their stakeholders were actually more profitable. It gave them a competitive edge. And, you know, there are, as you probably know, coming from corporate America, there are, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars being spent every year with consultants and different kinds of companies to come into corporations to help engage employees. Right? Because I think statistics have shown that many employees are, you know, 50, 60% engaged. So that's a lot of productivity that's lost every day.
Right.
And so
right.
Corporations spend a fortune trying to come up with ways to help employee engagement. Well, purpose is one of those ways. And I highly recommend that if anybody owns a company or they work for a company, see if they can learn what the purpose statement is. And if there isn't one, see if they can get on board to help them create one.
You know, it's very interesting that you say that because the company that I worked with was a an international banking company. And it we had a lot of community engagement for most of the time I was there. But when they started downsizing, then a lot of those things went away. And what I saw was that the employee morale dropped tremendously because we no longer felt like we were doing something purposeful out there. We were just pushing papers, so to speak. So do you think that even just being engaged in the community can help employees feel that they have a bigger role just by being connected with that company?
Absolutely. It's interesting because, you know, now we have all the millennials coming into the workforce and really making an impact, and they're motivated by purpose. Mm-hmm. If you let a millennial know why you're doing something and they buy into it, my goodness gracious, they get so engaged and so creative and so innovative. My employees, especially my software developers, the kinds of things that they came up with in terms of creative and innovative, really out-of-the-box thinking, was solely due to their buying into this idea that the why that we existed was to save lives. You know, what we did with inventory management software was, you know, help automate distribution processes and do just-in-time inventory. And as a result of that, we were able to help hospitals save a whole bunch of money on wasted inventory. But the why that we did it was to validate that medication errors could be reduced simply by applying barcodes. That generated so much excitement in all of our stakeholders. Our suppliers wanted to be on time because they wanted to help save lives. Our employees were more engaged. Our investors were more engaged. Everyone was engaged and excited about this idea of saving lives. I mean, over 100,000 people were dying every year in hospitals because of medication errors, and we were able to help reduce that. I think that people want to feel that they're part of something that is worthy to be part of, and it's not the what that a company does. I mean, coming from the financial industry, you know the company Ing, you know, ING.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're a finance company, they're an investment group. But they say that their purpose is to empower people to stay ahead in life and business. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine how excited employees are going to get to help empower other people versus just helping them with their finances.
Right. Now, you know, what you're describing me is on a very large scale. Many of my listeners are entrepreneurs, small business owners, maybe have one or two employees, up to maybe five. So how can an entrepreneur, solopreneur, small business owner, take that philosophy and incorporate it into their business?
Well, what they want to do is do two things. First of all, they want to take the time to discover what their personal purpose is. And, you know, my personal purpose since I was a little kid is to help others be successful and to be successful, to bless others and to be blessed. You know, that sort of fair exchange of value idea. And so all of my businesses have had a very similar vein of purpose. And the way they can do that is to answer three questions. The first question is, what did they used to do when they were a little kid and they lost tons of time because it was just so much fun? I mean, they were totally and completely engaged. The second question is, what have other people told them that they're good at doing? And the third question is, what do they think they're really good at doing? When they answer all three of those questions, there's going to be some common phrases or terms or words that show up in all three of those areas. And from those words and phrases, they can start to manipulate them to come up with what their purpose is. I know a man who went through the exercise, and he used to play with electronics, take apart small electronics when he was a kid, and other people said he was really bright about helping to solve problems and tinkering with things, and he went on to start a plumbing company, and he has 20 employees. And he said his purpose is to make other people's lives easier. That's it. That's why he exists, to make other people's lives easier. And so answer those three questions and come up with what their personal purpose is. And then as they're discovering what their business purpose is, ask themselves why they think their company exists. Ask a couple of their employees or one employee or even a contractor that might sell for them. Why do they think? What do they think the value is in operating their business? And then see if they can ask the rest of their stakeholders, maybe a customer or two, a supplier. If they have an investor, ask them, a board member, and community. You know, oftentimes the community is affected by people's business. See if they can find out from the community what they think the value of the business is. Again, there's going to be some common words and phrases that show up in all of those answers that can give them an idea as to what their company purpose is.
You know, what you've been describing, May, is something more than the widget that the company offers. What you're describing is so much deeper than that. And, you know, again, I'll refer to your book, The Gratitude Formula. One of these sections is beliefs drive your brain. What you're describing here is more of the belief than the actual widget. How did you come up with the concept that the belief behind the business is equally, if not more important, than the actual widget that they're producing?
Well, the what that you do, I mean, we have to validate that with all sorts of practical measurements. I mean, if we create a widget that nobody wants, we don't have a business. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. putting, you know, assuming that all the practical business plan and market validation and everything involved in creating a sound, sustainable, and profitable business, assuming that that's done, how do we get everyone excited about helping us to succeed? Because really that's what employees and all the rest of the stakeholders do, is they end up helping the company to succeed. So how do we get them engaged? Well, the way that we get them engaged is that they show up with a greater reason to be there. Not just the manufacturing of widgets and distribution, but something that has a greater sense of meaning, something that gets them motivated. You know, that one of my favorite stories to tell about purpose is about the company Witch Witch. You know, they're a sandwich chain.
Right.
You know, they make sandwiches kind of like Subway. And the CEO of the company is a guy named Jeff Sinelli. And he was so excited because he had an opportunity to meet one of his idols, which was the CEO of the container store, a guy named Kip Tindall. And so he's in line at this conference, and he was so excited, and he got to the front of the line, and he handed Kip Tindall his card and said, "Hi, nice to meet you. I really admire your work and what you've been able to do with your company." And he handed him his business card. And Kip Tindall looked at this business card and turned it over. And on the back of Jeff Sinelli's card, it said, "Some people want to make superior sandwiches. Some people want to make the world a better place. We want to do both." And Kip Tindall looked at Jeff Sinelli and said, "What are you doing to make the world a better place?" And Jeff said, he thought to himself, "Oh my God, that's just always been our tagline. We're not doing anything to make the world a better place." So he looked at Kip Tindall and he says, "Well, when I get back to Dallas, we're going to give away free sandwiches." So his employees got so engaged around this idea because they could put some action toward it. And this year they're giving away their 1 millionth free peanut butter and jelly sandwich to the community, to homeless, the people that need it. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine you have employees that are making sandwiches all day long, and it's probably not the most exciting job in the world. Mm-hmm. But now they're making the world a better place. That's why they show up to work. And they get to demonstrate that each and every day, and they get to leave there not only having earned their money, but feeling that they have helped other stakeholders, other people in their community, to live in a better place. I mean, how cool is that? And you can do that on a small level, too, even as a solopreneur. You've got people that are supporting you. You've got customers. You've got suppliers and vendors. Maybe you use contract sales help. Maybe you use people that help you with marketing and advertising. But there are other people related to your business that you can get excited about your purpose.
Absolutely. And it many times being an entrepreneur, solopreneur can feel very lonely. And it's these types of purpose-driven events that you're talking about that we could come together and do something. And at the end of the day, not only have we made someone's life better, whether it's making doing a clothing drive or a shoe drive or whatever it is to benefit the community, but you've also connected with your referral partners, your networking connections on a different level. So I think you've made a different type of relationship there just by that one event. And I think that's important. Now, you also talk about how many times words and phrases sabotage our goals. And, we learn this all the time that, thoughts are things and, all of those kind of things. How do we stop ourselves from doing it? Because many times it's a habit and we don't even realize we're doing it. How do you coach your clients, your employees to be more aware of that?
Well, first of all, to remind them that words do have power. They absolutely have power. Whatever we're talking about, I used to have a salesperson that worked for me, and she would say things like, I hope I'm not late for an appointment and make a bad impression. Ugh. And consistently, she was last in terms of sales productivity. And when we talked about it, usually when somebody's last consistently, this might not be the right job for them. But before we made that decision, I had a conversation with her. And what I learned was that she was talking about what she didn't want. And the thing about our subconscious is it doesn't understand don't. So whatever it is that we're focusing on, being late for an appointment, making a bad impression, even though we've prefaced that with I don't want, what was happening is this picture of being late and making a bad impression was imprinting itself on her subconscious. So I asked her to do a little experiment, and I said, I want you to start saying things as though they're already complete with gratitude. I want you to say them every single day, multiple times a day. So she started saying things like, I'm so grateful that I'm early and on time for all of my appointments, and that I clearly articulate a fair exchange of value with customers who love to work with our company, and I'm able to facilitate a fair exchange of value. So she started saying that over and over and over again, and within 3 months, she was a top salesperson. So words have power, and what I outline for people as a very simple part of their system for success is to, number one, set aside some time, 20, 25 minutes every single morning to write down their goals in every area of their life. Their work, their finances, their health, their relationships, their recreation, and if they have any sort of spiritual connection, that as well. So write down affirmative goals and describe them as though they're already complete with gratitude. Read them out loud so they can hear themselves say those words and catch themselves when they're not using the right words. And then imagine, like many professional athletes do, imagine seeing themselves in the completed goal. The second thing is to go out and find people that have achieved the kind of success that you want and get familiar with their stories. If you can't meet them personally, read stories about them. Learn about their journey so that you can impress your brain into believing that, wow, if they could do it, I could do it. You know, I love the stories of Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. I mean, like me, they started in their garages and, you know, an extra bedroom and now look at their companies. I mean, they're number one and number two in the world for wealthiest men on our planet. So that idea of reading stories so it's not so scary, and that will help your belief system. It'll help strengthen a different neural pathway that's associated with the belief in possibility. And then the third and final thing is to do what Steve Jobs said to do, and that's to have courage. Have courage to follow your heart and intuition. You're going to get a gut instinct, a strong thought to go somewhere, to contact someone, to do something. Those kinds of intuitive messages will pop up to support you in taking steps to achieve goals in many times in a irrational manner. I mean, I remember getting this strong thought to drive across town at Cleveland at 9 o'clock at night to a grocery store only to run into a customer, a potential customer that was coming out who was not returning any of my phone calls or emails for an appointment. Mm-hmm. And we struck up a conversation and he invited me to come make a presentation while I was in town. Well, that led to another and another and almost a contract worth $500,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, a contract worth almost $500,000. So sometimes you do get a strong thought or a gut instinct to do something, and as Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Steven Spielberg, Oprah Winfrey, Wayne Dyer, Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein, they all say that you've got to have courage to follow this intuitive message that's trying to point the way. And we've all proved that. You know, think about the last time you bought a car. You know, as you thought about and talked about and got emotionally excited about a new car and you narrowed down the models to one or two models, you started to see that car driving around everywhere, whereas before it was a goal, you never noticed that car. The same thing will happen when you revisit your goals on a daily basis. You're going to start to notice possible steps that you can take to achieve them faster. So if people do those three things every day, they're going to achieve more and bigger goals than they ever have before.
We need to break for a quick commercial break, May. But before we do, would you mind giving your contact information out? If somebody out there is listening and say, that's really ringing true for me, that's exactly what I need, how would they find your book, your website, and what services you offer?
Well, if they go to MayMcCarthy.com, that's MayMcCarthy.com, they can learn more about me. And for your listeners, there's also a couple of links that allow them to download for free the first three chapters of each of my books.
Wonderful. Very good. Well, when we come back, May, I would love for you to share maybe a story of success that you had with one of your clients, and to kind of give our listeners an idea of how your philosophy and, you know, your secrets, your success secrets could certainly be applied in their business and help them to be successful. So, folks, we will be right back with more from May McCarthy.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Gambone.com. Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Hey folks, welcome back to Empower Radio Show. This is Linda Ballesteros. My guest today is Mae McCarthy. Mae has been talking about her most recent book, The Gratitude Formula, a seven-step success system to create a life that you love. And what I love about this book, Mae, is that it really does engage the reader. It is not just about reading, but you actually give them exercises. And I think that's really important, because you can read about an idea, but until you actually write out what you were talking about earlier, what your purpose is, then you're just reading words. You're not really implementing the idea itself. So before, I know I'd ask you to give us an example, but at what point in your career, Mae, did you see that this was important, that it was, when did you start seeing the connection between having a purpose or being connected with a higher source is connected to the success of a business as well?
Well, I actually learned at a pretty young age this idea of fair exchange of value. And I'm the last of 10 children who was born and raised in Hawaii. And my father was a surgeon, but he was also an entrepreneur. And what he demonstrated to us was this idea of fair exchange of value. And at the end of every year, he'd always marvel at how he always received more than he gave out. And he gave out a bunch of free health care in addition to charging people that could actually afford it. He gave out a bunch of free health care with the understanding that the person that received it was going to somehow someday recognize that they were valuable and that they had something that was equally as valuable to exchange. So we'd get fresh fish and clothes and fruit and, I mean, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, that was always very valuable for raising a family of 10 kids. So we were trained as young kids to understand this concept of fair exchange of value. And then when we wanted money for our toys and things like that, we had to make proposals to our parents for a fair exchange of value to return money to us so that we could buy the things that we wanted. Now, granted, they took care of all of our normal living expenses, but for anything extra, there had to be a fair exchange of value. And I remember at 6 years old, I pointed out what I thought could facilitate a fair exchange of value to my mother. And I said, there are people on our beach out in front that look thirsty. There are no water fountains or facilities for them to get water. How about if I somehow create something that would be cool to drink or a snack, and then they could give me money and facilitate this fair exchange of value? So my mom helped me start my first business at six. Mm-hmm. And I've carried that philosophy through all of my businesses, including the seven that I've had as an adult. When I went off to college, my mom gave me this book that was published in 1925. And it was a very, very small little book called The Game of Life and How to Play It. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I had been exposed to this idea that words, thoughts, and emotions could produce and manifest whatever I was putting my words, thoughts, and emotions on. It was kind of a metaphysical book. And I thought, oh, my gosh, well, I'll give this a try. Well, I was able to graduate from college in 3 years with honors and build a company with 250 employees with franchises in Alaska and New Jersey and Oregon. And I thought, this stuff works. So the way people can prove it is by actually practicing it. I challenge readers to do all the exercises in the book and to do it consistently for 30 days, to do this daily practice that I describe consistently for 30 days, because what that will do is help to strengthen a different neural pathway in their brain that's associated with beliefs and possibilities. You see, all of us have arrived at this point in our lives with very deep-rooted beliefs, and those are actually associated with neural pathways in our brains. You can see the ones that are deeply grooved in your brain that are associated with those very strong beliefs that you've created over a lifetime. And those could be beliefs in, I can't, or I'm not worthy, or, you know, no one in my family's done it, so I can't do it either. You know, all these lies that people come to this stage in their life with. And the way that we create a different belief, a belief in possibilities, through repetition. So this idea of the daily goal attainment practice being used every single day is the repetition that's necessary to create a new belief in possibility.
And it happens, May, and I don't know that we realize that we are so locked in to some of those beliefs and how they have been just guiding our life and not giving us the results that we've been looking for. So that's great, because many times, like I said, we just fall into that trap. So could you share with our listeners maybe a situation where you were able to help someone make a difference and change things and get the results that they are looking for?
Oh, sure. Okay, so I'll use someone I write about in the Gratitude Formula, and I call her Moni. Okay, and Moni, when she was a little girl, she was she used to love to do things. She went through the whole practice of figuring out what her personal purpose was. And when she was a little kid, she used to lose tons and tons and tons of time putting together things from nature, rocks and leaves and flowers and things like that, and making these really cool little designs and giving them away. And she loved how people appreciated her gifts. And as she grew older, she decided to be a solopreneur, and she became a massage therapist. And as she was starting to do her massage therapy, what she realized was that although, you know, she could use the body work to help people, you know, relieve some problems, she knew that there were some healing powers in nature that could also assist her, because many of her clients had inflammation or chronic pain and things like that. So she started to really investigate essential oils and things like that, that might be able to provide some additional support and relief for her patients, really. And as she started to create these concoctions and use them, she got quite the reputation. So she was booked out over 2 months in advance. You couldn't get an appointment unless you booked that far ahead. And all of her clients were raving about her. Well, other therapists learned about what she was doing as well. And so they started asking her, you know, what are you doing? What's different? And she described these wonderful essential oils and concoctions that she created, and they started to buy them from her as well. Well, that business started to grow so big, and some clients happened to work for stores like Whole Foods and different specialty retailers, and they wanted to carry these things in their stores. So she quit being a solopreneur and started a health and beauty company that ended up having these essential oils and lotions and bath salts and things like that available to help with colds and flu, with chronic pain, with low energy, all sorts of stuff. And she is now distributed all over the country and has a growing and thriving company. But what she had to do, I met her before she created a purpose for her company. And so we went through the same process of describing what did she used to do when she was a kid to learn her personal purpose, and then what do all of her stakeholders that are the immediate clients of hers say that she's doing. And what she ended up coming up with was that her company purpose was to promote health and well-being through sharing the pure powers of nature. Mm. Her company exists to promote health and well-being using natural products. But she also had this belief in the back of her head that she was not smart enough. She was not smart enough to grow a big business. So we had to help shift that belief and really sit down together and go through explaining, you know, what accounting is and how to manage finances. She needed to meet some other people, so I got her involved in a group that in our town was called the Better Business Breakfast, and it would meet once a month. And other businesses that were about the same size as hers and a little larger would describe the practical things that they would go through in order to grow to the next level. And I had her learn a little bit more about accounting, and we played with math, and we started to do this on such a repetitive basis that spreadsheets weren't scary to her anymore. Mm-hmm. She recognized, wow, this is a tool that everybody uses, and if they could do it, I could do it. So she went from this very small, you know, solopreneur company to a company that now employs 10 people and has distribution across the country, as well as distributors that sell for her.
And that's amazing. You know, I wanted to point out another section of your book where it talks about doubts and fears delay miracles. I love that idea because we do get locked down in the doubts and fears, and there's no way that miracles, just like what you're talking about, can even enter because we've got such a huge wall around us of doubt and fear.
Well, and the thing about doubts and fears is the more attention we give to it, the more we talk about it and think about it and worry about it, it grows bigger. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is use our spoken word. If you're thinking about something that is negative or worrisome, but you're speaking something positive and affirming, your spoken word is going to catch your subconscious attention. And as you do that on a repetitive basis, those doubts and fears start to subside and they don't seem as scary. Mm-hmm. And then if you combine the words, thoughts, and emotions with going out and reading stories about people that have been through the same thing that you have and survived and thrived and prospered, then it becomes less and less scary. Most of the time we're scared because something's unexpected or it's a new situation that we haven't been in. Or I know in my case, I've been sued by, I can't tell you how many Fortune 20 companies, but five. Mm-hmm. One time I was sued by AT&T, MCI, and Sprint all at the same time. And if they would have been successful, our company would be put out of business, and that was very scary. But I kept using my words, thoughts, and emotions, knowing that a good outcome could result from this. Mm-hmm. And I persevered with focusing on how to protect my employees to continue to do their job and kind of protect them from this nightmare of a lawsuit. And we did prevail. And unfortunately, in the United States, when you're doing really well as a startup, larger companies can use, you know, lawsuits that really have no basis to try and slow you down. And it's unfortunate, but they do that. That's part of it. And the important thing is, if you haven't done anything wrong, which we never did, you'll prevail if you just stay focused on what you want the outcome to be.
Right, right. Well, Mae, we've come to the end of the show, and we're down to those final three questions. So the first question is, when faced with obstacles, what kept you going?
You know, first of all, I had proof, you know, that my words, thoughts, and emotions could change a situation. I've been doing this since I was a little girl, and so I had some proof, and I knew that somehow, some way, I could, as long as I stayed focused on what I wanted the outcome to be, I could be guided and directed by that source of intuition to get me through. I also have I also make sure to have supportive family and friends around to encourage me, because you can borrow people's faith and strength when you're not feeling so strong and faithful. Mm-hmm. And then I know I can go on the internet and find stories about other people that have been through things even worse, and they've prevailed. And you know what? If they can do it, I could do it.
So definitely true. So, as I mentioned before, so many times we feel as an entrepreneur we're pretty isolated. And when we start realizing that there are others out there that have experienced what we are going through and possibly worse, and like you said, have prevailed, it makes us feel like we're plugged into a larger community, and we can certainly pull from that. So the next question is, other than a coach, who has influenced you the most?
Oh, my sister Sharon. She's number two in the lineup of 10 kids. I remember in one of my businesses as a young girl, 12 years old, I saved all my money that I earned from my little businesses and bought myself a ticket to Alaska, where Sharon was. She was working as a buyer for the Alaska Pipeline. And she brought me to work with her and put me to work and said I was smarter and more capable than even her secretary was. And I thought, oh, at 12 years old, how wonderful and how validating. She's always been a champion and encourager, pushing me to do more than I even thought was possible. So for sure, Sharon Ramey.
It's always good to have someone speak favor over you, so to speak, when you don't even realize that's what they're doing, but that's important. And another example of how we can impact other people's lives is speaking that favor rather than pointing out how they're not doing it quite right. So it's not just our words that impact us. It's certainly those of those people around us as well. So the last question here is there one thing that you wish you had known early on that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, and I wish I would have known when I was younger that it's not my job to be perfect. It's my job to do the best that I can, but it's not my job to be perfect. It's impossible, and you'll always fail because your idea of perfect will be really beyond. If you're doing a great job, you'll beat yourself up always thinking, I could have done better, I could have even done better, and that's a waste of time. Just do the best job that you can and know that it's always, always working out as it should.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really
good point. That would have
saved
me a lot of sleepless nights.
Absolutely. You know, I've always said that, perfection is an illusion because it's something that's not attainable. And when you work for perfection, my philosophy is that you always come up short because it's never attainable. So that is a trap that many of us fall into. So that's a really good point there, May. Again, May, thank you so much for being on the show today. And would you mind giving your contact information out one more time for our listeners?
I sure will. If they go to May McCarthy. com. That's MayMccarthy.com. There's information about me and upcoming events for the rest of the year, and also some free chapters that they can download from my books available on that site as well.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, May. You're doing some great work out there, and I love the idea of the gratitude formula. Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy day for us.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, you know, it many times it is the simple things that stand in our way, and many times that those simple things are just our words. May brings up a really good point in how we really do need to embrace what we've done. Do the best you can. There's no perfection out there. The other guy that did it, he didn't do it any more perfect because it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. And also having that purpose. That has been critical for me. And, It's interesting because I didn't find that out until later in my career as to why I never felt quite satisfied. I wasn't like the others, wasn't chasing the dollar, and wasn't sure why I wasn't satisfied with that. So it was lacking that purpose. So be sure that you build purpose into your life and into your business as well. As always, I want to leave you with a quote. This is by Washington Irving. Great minds have purposes. Others have wishes. So turn those wishes into purposes and have a more fulfilled life. Thanks again for joining us today on Empower Radio Show.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.